U.S. Senator Mark Kelly just keeping in it.
My concern is with the service members, that they're going to, we're going to put these individuals in a really, really tough decision, in a tough place. And, you know, they may find out, you know, down the road that they did something that is illegal. It is not fair to them. That's why we need presidents and Secretary of Defense who understand the Constitution, who understand the rule of law, and have more respect for the Constitution and the country and service members than the whims of a president.
They're following unlawful commands from Donald Trump. And if you're committing offense and your defense is going to be, I was just following orders. You know, that didn't work out so well at Nuremberg. It certainly didn't work out so well for Lieutenant Calley when he, you know, engaged in mass murder, the My Lai massacre. Someday, when the rule of law comes back into the light of day, will have to be tackled. They'll have to be held accountable for those abuses.
When you and your colleagues made that video, were there specific potentially illegal orders that you were thinking about that were the sort of precipitating cause for you guys to get together and do that?
You don't want to wait for your kid to get hit by a car before you tell them to look both ways.
The Pentagon confirmed to multiple outlets that the video is under review by the Office of the General Counsel to determine whether it constitutes improper interference with military discipline.
You can't have a functioning military if there is disorder and chaos within the ranks, and that's what these Democrat members were encouraging. It's very clear.
Regardless, Kelly keeps sticking his foot in his mouth.
You mentioned that you are a captain in the Navy. If you received that order, would you have carried it out?
No.
Kelly's pre-Senate business history has resurfaced amid heightened scrutiny of Chinese influence in U.S. technology. From 2013 to 2020, Kelly co-founded and served as a board member of Worldview Enterprises, a Tucson-based company that develops high-altitude stratospheric balloons originally marketed for commercial and research purposes. In 2013 and again in 2016, Worldview accepted investments from Tencent Holdings, the Chinese tech giant closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party, and subject to national security laws requiring data cooperation with Beijing. Tencent's WeChat platform has been cited by U.S. officials as a tool for censorship and surveillance.
The facts are China has put a lot of money into high-altitude balloons or what you'd call satellite arrays, surveillance arrays, but more importantly, communication systems. But they've also put a lot of money in to deliver a electromagnetic pulse weapon that's detonated and powered by an atomic or hydrogen bomb going off. It's estimated that a 40 megaton bomb, that's a medium-sized bomb, would knock out large portions of the United States that was detonated around 80,000 feet in the right conditions. But there's more radiation that goes further at night because of radiation that's already in the atmosphere from the sun. And so they would try to detonate these at night. They would have a much bigger effect. You've seen what solar flares do, wreaking havoc with satellites. That's nothing compared to this. And the fact that Biden didn't order this shot down day one, the fact that the Communist Chinese confirmed it was theirs, just shows you what the Border Patrol said. They're not watching the border. They're not watching anything except us.
$100,000 a month as a retainer for Hunter Biden to work for a Chinese entity with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. $500,000 right off the top as a one-time payment to Hunter. And $65,000 a month for James Biden, the president's brother. We're talking about the question of what could Hunter Biden possibly bring to the table.
The fact that this has been going on is important. Yes, the globalists set up China, but by the time Xi Jinping came along, and now he's arrested his predecessor that was working with the globalist, Xi Jinping has told big tech of the New World Order, I'm in charge, and I'm not going to deal with you anymore.
Kelly divested his ownership stake and resigned from the board in early 2020 upon entering the Senate race, placing his holdings in a blind trust. Which begs the question, are we blindly trusting CCP sedition blowhard Senator Kelly? John Baum reporting for InfoWars.
Alex Jones, Patriot. a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. We got a lot going on over here. I'm Brianna Morello, filling in for Harrison Smith on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us, of course, so thank you for being here. All right, as many of you guys know, I'm not in our normal studio. I'm here in the swamp, and we've been triggering those in the corporate media, which is good news. If you guys saw earlier today, I was at the Pentagon, and we really got them upset that the independent world is now taking over for the corporate media world. And, you know, it's been endless attacks for the last few weeks on that front. But listen, we're exposing a lot. And we were asking all the tough questions today at the Pentagon. And we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But right now, I want to play this clip for you because we've talked about it. As many of you guys know, there was that horrific terror attack that took place last week in Washington, D.C. An Afghan refugee, is what they like to call him, decided to drive across the country and shoot two National Guardsmen. Unfortunately, one has passed away and the other one is still fighting for his life, but things are looking good for him. But when it comes to the question of how did this person get here in the first place, there's only one way to point your finger, and that's at the Biden regime. The Biden regime funneled thousands of Afghan refugees into this country. We had no idea where they were coming from, who they were. And right now we're trying to get to how did this happen. I want to play this clip for you, clip five. This is the Secretary of DHS, Kristi Noem, coming out and saying that this individual was poorly vetted. Take a listen.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House. And since I've been at DHS, we're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing, and making sure that we have a government when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? And so that is one of the prerogatives one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
The vetting process is a major, major issue. But folks, you can't vet these people. I mean, you just heard the secretary lay it out for you. The reality is these people come from countries that, number one, aren't going to be honest with us, right? They're not going to tell you, especially if you're turning to the Taliban and asking, hey, is this a terrorist that's trying to come into our country? I mean, they're not going to tell you that. And so it really calls into question is how can our vetting process actually be functioning and actually work for the American people? And the reality is, I don't think it actually will. Joining me to discuss is Senator Tommy Tuberville. He joins us today in the Rumble studio. It is an honor to have you on, sir. So thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
We are here in swamp territory. We're very excited about that. We've been asking a lot of tough questions all week. And so this one is one I want to get your take on, because you're obviously very outspoken on the Islam issue. And you cause a lot of headlines where you piss off the corporate media. And we're very excited about that, because for so long, these types of things have not been challenged when it comes to allowing these migrants. They always call them the asylum seekers, but the reality is they come here and they want to cause harm. So how do we vet these people and bring them into our country?
Well, first of all, we didn't vet them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We brought in, tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little story. When all this happened in Afghanistan, I had to go over to India. And I said, I'm going to go back through Brussels and meet with the NATO commander and see how it's going. That's where we sent all of the Afghanistanians that we brought out of Afghanistan, and we housed them where we tented them. They put them in tents in these little villages and stuff. Now, they run in different tribes, okay? And the NATO commander told me, he says, Coach, we're having huge problems. So what's going on? He said, well, we're having rapes, mm-hmm. boys, little girls, women. We're having fights. We can't control them. And I've gone to all the leaders of the tribes and said, listen, either you handle it or we're going to handle it. And they got them and somewhat corralled them up. But they weren't asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. We brought out anybody that would get on the plane is what happened. Joe Biden said, let's get as many people out as we possibly can. I said, have we vetted these people? Coach, we don't vet these people because we don't know who they are. There's no identification. They have no sense of reality when it comes to being a part of anything. And so we're just biometric them. We're putting them on planes. We're shipping them to the United States of America. So that's how we got all these people, and we knew it was going to cause problems, but that's what the Biden administration wants. They have done so much damage to this country. President Trump is probably the best pro-growth president we've ever had, but he can't do anything because of all the problems they created trying to get his head above water to get this country back going in the right direction, but it is an absolute disaster when it comes to the Muslims coming in this country.
Yeah, and people don't want to talk about it. They want to play it safe. And it's the reality is these people don't belong in the West. No. They hate us. They despise us. And you brought up a great point, the sexual assault angle to all of this. People shy away from the topic, too, because they just don't want to talk about it. But I've sat here for years following what happened when we brought them onto U.S. military bases. And I actually asked the Pentagon about it today. Specifically, we saw that there were a couple of stories coming out about children and women being raped at these military bases. And then all of a sudden, they stopped reporting it. They didn't tell the public about any of this. And we don't even know if those people who were accused of rape, whether they were deported, whether they were arrested. We don't know if they're sitting in prisons, right? I mean, we have no idea where these people are. I asked the Pentagon if they were going to give us some statistics on all of this. We could find out how many crimes were committed while they were on our military bases. And we didn't really get a direct answer in all of this. It's really concerning, but you bring up a great point. And you also posted this on X, too, about ban all Islam immigrants and deport every single Islamist. Now, you've been very aggressive on this issue. Why is this a top priority for you?
Well, first of all, I love America.
Yeah.
And you and I have had the opportunity to be in a country that is the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. But we're losing it. Mm-hmm. And we're losing it at a fast pace simply for the fact of immigration. We can't allow to continue this to happen. Now, we want people to come here for the right reasons. We don't want you to come if you're not having problems in your own country. If you live in a country that is functional, you don't deserve to come to the United States of America. We'll only take you if you're in trouble. But that wasn't Biden administration's forte. They said, hey, we're just going to take anybody. They opened up the borders. They loaded up planes. The people they brought from Afghanistan weren't translators or friends of the American soldiers. They were just anybody that would get on the plane. And so Islam it's a tough situation. Mm-hmm. We want anybody to come here that can make our country better. That's the way I look at it. If you can come here and go by our laws and go by our Constitution and make our country better and want to assimilate, I'm all for you. They don't want to do that. They want to change this country to something else. Now, Sharia law and Islam is not a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a cult, okay? And their cult believes in totally different things we believe in. They don't believe in, Americans. Kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in. They hate Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having tens of thousands of people killed in Nigeria by Muslims because they're Christians.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Why do we even take that chance? So I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pack them up and send them home. And I think a lot of people are starting to understand after this hitting last week here, two or three blocks from where we're at right now, mm-hmm. It's a huge problem. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And again, we've got to start speaking up about it because if you don't talk about your problems, you can't solve the problem. And so let's start talking about it.
Yeah, and it's really important that we do just that. I mean, the fact that we have to wait, sadly, until one National Guardswoman lost her life. I mean, that's just devastating. But it's starting to create an open dialogue here that I think is very important. And we're also starting to reveal Somalian fraud. That's a big topic these days. I want to play clip 19 for you because President Trump earlier today was calling out Somalia. And he had quite the interesting way of describing the Somalians that have come into this country. Take a listen.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks. And we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, President Trump really not holding back there and very descriptive on how he feels about all of this. But, you know, you come from the great state of Alabama and you guys are starting to see a little bit of issues here. You know, I was going through your X page and I'm obviously now in Texas. I can't call myself a Texan yet, but we've seen over the last 2 years in my little area alone, 48 mosques get popping up and all these Islamic compounds is what they're trying to pop up and open up. And they're doing their best to lie and deceive the American people. Epic is one great example of that. But you're calling it out and you're trying to do your very best to make sure that this doesn't happen to Alabama right now, specifically saying the only place this Islamic academy should be moving is out of Alabama. How important is it for you to make sure that Alabama, especially when you're campaigning right now, but how important is it for you to make sure that Alabama is secure and it's not going to be taking in Islam or Islamists, I should say?
Well, Brianna, first of all, that's my president. That's who I voted for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
America first.
Yeah.
Get these people out that don't belong here. Mm-hmm. Protect the people of this country first. And that's what he's doing. He's had enough of it. Mm-hmm. You know, after this nonsense that we had with these two young people killed, one killed and the other one in bad shape. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to this country that we can't even protect our own military people. And so that's the guy I voted for. That's a good friend of mine. Now we go to the point of what you're saying. We have 50 states in this country. Muslim communities are moving everywhere. Yeah. In every state, they're building mosques. They're having these five prayers a day. They're pushing this cult on everybody across the country. Now, the people that are vulnerable are obviously young people that are in these woke universities that are falling in line with them. And it's going to catch up with us if we don't start talking about it. If we don't talk about it, again, people are not going, they're not going to wake up and look and go, what is this? Is this really true? Is this really happening? And you brought up Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas has a huge infiltration of Muslims north of the city, and they're buying land, putting in mosques, they're building schools in Birmingham, Alabama, in Hoover. We just had the city council say, no, you're not. There's a small school that's a Muslim school in that area. They want larger area where they can build a bigger school, infiltrate more, and bring in more young people to teach them the Muslim faith. And again, I'm a senator right now, and I'm going to fight it. In the future, in a year, I'll be the governor. And I'll be damned if we're going to do that in the state of Alabama. We're going to protect the people of Alabama. We're going to protect our Constitution. We're going to protect our state. We're going to protect our country.
And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. How do you plan on carrying that out? Because it's going to be very, very hard to try to make sure that they can't purchase land and build these little Muslim compounds all over Alabama.
Well, we've got to prove that what they're doing is going against our Constitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't preach hate. You can't preach death. Yeah. Kill all infidels. Kill all Christians. You can't do that. And we'll find some way, somehow, that we can make sure that this did not grow. And again, we go back to what we said earlier. If you're here for a reason, and that reason is to bring down our country through some kind of cult, I mean, it's got to go. And we've got to find ways to do it. And again, as United States Senator, we can talk about it. But when you're in charge of a state, you can do a lot more about it. And you can push regulations. You can push building codes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to put up with it as a governor of the state of Alabama. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what people want to hear. I mean, the reality of it is now in Texas, I was there when we had the public hearing and I was on EPIC, the East Plano Islamic Center. They've now actually rebranded their name. They're just calling themselves the Meadow now, according to the judge. So they're doing this rebranding to make it seem like it's not a threat. But, you know, I was very proud because I sat there in the courtroom while conservative Christians flooded the entire courtroom. And there were so many in the room that we couldn't actually sit everyone. So they actually had to have an overflow room for all of us. And so many people, I was so proud of them coming out, speaking out, saying they don't want this in their community and holding people accountable. The judge, Chris Hill, in Collin County, actually siding with Texans and saying, okay, like we're not going to let you guys build up on the land right now. So they're trying to do this whole pivot now. But it's super important for Americans to understand that you have to fight now. You have to stop this now while you still can, because right now, Texas, once they purchase the land, it's their land. So getting into this fight now and pushing for this now is critical. And, you know, we're seeing it in, we'll kind of just pivot a little bit. Minnesota, I want to play clip six for you because we talk about these migrants who have flooded into our country. Somalia, obviously, Somalians have flooded in. And there's been a large amount of fraud earlier today. Chrissy Noem even calling it out, the DHS
millions
secretary.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. She said 50% of the Somalians over there actually committed fraud to get into our country. 50%. Now, she says DHS is going to go out there and start making these arrests to get rid of these people. Because obviously they can't do that. But that's just immigration fraud. Then there's also the financial in all of this. Millions of dollars. They've, and according to reports, they flooded this over to terrorist organizations back in their homeland. But I want to listen to clip six because this is one Somalian and she's doing a local news interview. And she says, yeah, there's some of them that commit fraud, but it's not all of us. Take a listen to clip six.
I'm not comfortable sometimes. Because when I drive, when I'm sitting somewhere, not comfortable like before.
She says the president's recent focus on the Somali community is unnerving.
What he said, we've affected all communities. We know some people, they make fraud, but not all.
Okay, so some people make fraud, but not all. That's her fight to keep Somalians in this country right now. President Trump, I don't think he's buying that, do you?
Well, thank you, Barack Obama. He's the one who brought him in here, dumped him in one place. That was all by plan to try to take over some congressional seats. And then, of course, a lot of them came here illegally. Mm-hmm. We have one here in the United States Congress that came here illegally, married her brother to become a citizen, which is ridiculous. And if we allow that to happen, we're not going to make it. Yeah. And you heard President Trump say a few minutes ago, we're at the tipping point of this country. I mean, folks, I mean, you might have a great family. You might have a little money in the bank. You have good kids and going to school. But all that's going to come to a halt if we don't wake up and smell the roses here and really tell what's going on. We're being overtaken by Muslims in this country. And it's, again, they come from different areas, different countries. I think there's somewhere in the 50s Muslim countries. And they're coming from all of them. They're coming here. They have a plan. They have a much better plan than what we have. They've overtaken Europe.
Yeah.
They've overtaken it. And, you know, they flooded the zone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And now what's happening? We're having to pay for all the welfare, the SNAP, everything, all these subsidies, and American people out there that pay all these taxes, they're not getting the infrastructure in this country that they deserve. They're not getting the money back coming back to their states for education or health care. All the money's going to people that shouldn't be here, and it's time to stop it.
Yeah, it is time to stop it, and I think President Trump is going to make that a top priority. I mean, he seems fired up on the issue. There's another issue he's fired up on, too. Tim Walz calling him out for allowing all this corruption, of course, the governor in Minnesota. It's very interesting because the media wasn't very happy when President Trump decided to call Tim Walz out for being low IQ. And in clip seven, they try to get him to back out of the statements that he made previously. But President Trump's not backing down. Take a listen.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz, and you called him what many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him, absolutely, sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia, we give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
All right, so Walz is not going to, well, I mean, he's not going to like, obviously, the president going after him. But President Trump, again, not backing down from the comments that he made, even though the media tried to bully him a little bit there. Your reaction?
You can't back down.
Yeah.
Now's the time to speak up, to be more vocal. President Trump's exactly right. I mean, this guy's got some kind of problem. And I don't know what it is. And his wife's even worse. We saw him during the campaign. They couldn't put two sentences together. Here's a guy dancing out. Coming out wanting to be the vice president of the United States and looks like a clown, his mannerisms. But at the end of the day, that's what they voted for in Minnesota. And we talked about earlier about Texas and Alabama. I'm not as concerned. I'm concerned because the push is on now to take over the South and more Christian-type areas.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about the northern states where there's not as many Christians anymore for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're being pushed out. All these kids are taking over these big cities. And we're going to have some problems that we can't fix in the cities. It's going to be so broken we can't fix it. And President Trump, again, the only way we can do it is start taking them and say, listen, adios, time to go home.
Yeah.
And I think he's on the verge of doing that.
Yeah, I think he is. And we're hopeful that he is because this is a very important issue for every American at this point. They don't want to lose their communities and they want to keep fighting for their communities. And that's exactly why we elected President Trump. To get reelected and send it back into the White House. So that was very important. We've got about a minute left in this. I want you to talk about your campaign because obviously you're running for governor of Alabama, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But what do you want the American people to know about your campaign?
Well, President Trump's still mad at me a little bit. He wants me to stay. As I told him, I said, listen, you're going to send the power back to the states. You're going to send the money and the power back. And should. States mm-hmm. should run their own. Because we're all different. Texas is different than Alabama. Alabama is different than Tennessee. We're all different. And so I'm a builder. I'm kind of like him. I've coached football teams all my life. I put together staffs and those things. And I want to do the same thing in Alabama. I know people here now. I know the president. Our election's a year away. I've got a great chance to win. Right now, I don't have a primary candidate, but I do have a former Senator Doug Jones running against me. And of course, he still lives up here after he wants to run in Alabama for governor and been back maybe a couple of times. But at the end of the day, I want to make Alabama better. I'm visiting with every Republican governor across this country that has done something good and something bad. Try to learn from good. And that's what you did as a coach. Coaches are nothing but thieves, and governors are nothing but thieves. You steal things that work in other states. And so that's what I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to it. But I got a year left here with President Trump. And I want to help him as much as I possibly can with a lot of things, especially immigration.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And we look forward to that. Senator Tommy Tuberville, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time. And it's always good to catch up with you in person. So we greatly appreciate it, folks. In the meantime, make sure you head on over right now. We have a limited time sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. So now is the time to stock up. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it before this deal ends. Or also, with every purchase, you get an entry to win some cash and a great car. So definitely head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now. More on the way.
The 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements, while supplies last, are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit thealexshowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles, and it obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation. And we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together. And InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultramethylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take methylene blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But bovine colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my bovine colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, bovine colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexshowstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the bovine colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the methylene blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish sea moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish sea moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with bovine colostrum. Not the case with methylene blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% humanoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at thealexshowstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at thealexshowstore.com and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with the precious methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchist lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's an exciting day here in Washington, D.C. I don't know. It's swamp territory, folks, so we could get kind of excited about it. As many of you guys know, we'll talk about it in just a bit, but I have been in the swamp because, well, the corporate media got kicked out of the Pentagon. They actually self-deported. And as their replacements, if you really want to troll them, you send me in. And so that's the reason why I'm here right now. We have been at the Pentagon, learning so much about the Pentagon, how it functions. There's a lot of acronyms I don't think people know, but now I know them all. And I have also been asking the real tough questions to some of the top officials over at the Pentagon. In case you want to see, I have a couple of great interviews that we're going to be doing tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. I'll be sitting down with great folks like Sean Parnell and General Anthony Tata and asking them some really tough questions, especially when it comes to Sean Parnell, because Sean Parnell is someone who is going to be releasing the report on the failed Afghanistan withdrawal. Now, we've spoken to him a couple of times about this, but We are going to get him on the record and ask him the tough questions right now. It's expected to come out early next year, that report. But we don't want any redactions. We want the full report. The American people deserve just that. So I will be asking Parnell about that, plus so much more, as the Pentagon continues to be under attack by those who claim to be Americans, who are trying to go after those in these official capacities and trying to get them tossed out with lies. So we'll be speaking to Parnell, which I look forward to doing that tomorrow. But just so you guys know, in about an hour, we're going to be taking your calls. So if you want to call into the show, let's give you that number right now. Give us a call, because right now we're going to be taking your calls at 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you want to call into the show and discuss the news topics we've discussed on the show thus far, or maybe you have a question that you want me to ask Sean Parnell or any of the Pentagon officials, because I'll be heading over there again tomorrow. Oh, we'll also be speaking with Pete Hegseth as well. How did I miss that? The Secretary of War. I'll be sitting down. Well, we'll be standing up. I think it's a gaggle. So it's going to be me and a couple of other reporters duking it out. But if there's a question that you want asked, send it our way. Give us a call right now. We will start taking calls in just a couple of minutes. I'll say like an hour to play it safe, but it's good time to get on hold right now if you want to get through. Nick Sorter is going to be joining me in studio as well in just a few moments. Nick actually calls the swamp his home these days. He's been doing a bunch of incredible reports. And so he's here located in DC. So many of you guys know, Nick hosts a show on Sundays on InfoWars. It's a great show. We highly recommend everyone catches that, of course. But Nick will be joining me in studio to react to the news of the day, because there was a lot of sound bites going on all across the country. And Nick will be here joining us. All right. So it's a topic that I often talk about. Immigration. Everyone's talking about it. It's the reason why President Trump was reelected in the first place, because Americans have had enough. They do not want a weak leader on issues like immigration. We have been infiltrated by people that hate us, people who don't have anything to contribute to our society. And that was kind of the guidelines for the Biden regime. I mean, they intentionally were taking these people in. This wasn't accidental. And then they also started giving them jobs and letting them flood the workplace. Places like the Department of Transportation have really been sitting there and trying to battle it out, because these illegal aliens have been getting their CDLs, driving trucks all across the country. They come from obviously the liberal states in the first place, and they send them everywhere. This is an issue that doesn't just stay in blue states. It happens to all of us. It affects all of us. And so when we're talking about holding these people accountable, Sean Duffy, who's obviously running the Department of Transportation, has been specifically calling it out. And he is not shying away from any of this. In fact, earlier today, we should have this soundbite, I believe, for you guys. I just don't have a call number for it. Sean Duffy was grilled on this issue, and he had no problem giving the American people the facts. Take a listen.
There have been states that have issued commercial driver's license to foreigners, and they've gone through sham schools, and they're not safe on American roadways. And so in partnership with Secretary Noem, we have driven those numbers down. We've got California, Gavin Newsom, to revoke 17,000 unlawfully issued licenses. We've closed down half of the fake schools that give out these fake licenses, all critically important. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota gave 33% of these licenses unlawfully. People that should never have a driver's license driving a big rig on American roads.
The absurdity that these aliens were given CDLs and were allowed to drive all across the country. Folks, so many people have died. I've actually asked the Department of Transportation. I would love to be able to speak to Sean Duffy directly, the secretary, obviously, because I've got a lot of questions for him in regards to all of this. You know, now we're hearing about the illegal aliens who are driving these vehicles and causing horrific car crashes. We're hearing about the fatalities. But obviously, this didn't just start happening. The Biden regime very much, I'll just say, they were likely hiding the numbers, hiding the accidents, and not telling the American people that these people who were causing these accidents were illegal aliens. Because, of course, his party's out here giving out these licenses. And again, let me remind you, in case you guys didn't hear me ranting about this on the American Journal, in California specifically, the Indian immigrants over there, the illegals in there, over there, even some of the legal citizens who've come into this country, have been legally given citizenship, I should clarify, they have been doing this, I'll just say, it's a scam. It's a scam. A lot of these Indian-owned driver schools, trucker schools, are happily passing out these passing grades to all of these truck drivers. The DMV is also getting caught up, and I outlined it for you guys on my show over at the American Journal, where we caught, and the DOJ has caught, multiple Indians intentionally giving these CDLs out, even though they can't speak English. They're paid off, they take the money, and they toss these CDLs at these illegal aliens. Now, of course, folks, this is something that needs to be stopped, top priority for the Transportation Department. But I want to know, prior to President Trump getting back into the White House, how many accidents were caused by illegal aliens who were obtaining CDLs in this country? I mean, it's a serious question that's worth asking, because we all know, I covered it again today, and I asked the Pentagon when I was at the Pentagon today, when we talk about sexual assault cases and actual assault cases that were carried out by Afghan migrants, we didn't get the actual numbers. They actually aggressively worked hard to suppress the facts. And I'm still fighting the FBI on those facts too, by the way. Yesterday we talked about it on my show. There was a woman, a U.S. service member, a female U.S. service member, who claimed to have been assaulted by a group of Afghan men on Fort Bliss, at the base over there. The FBI, the last announcement that came out back in 2021 was the FBI was leading the investigation into all of this. It's been 4 years. I've submitted multiple Freedom of Information Act requests. I don't hear anything back from them on that. I've also tried my best to reach out for comment. They tell me, oh, go to the DOJ. Go talk to DHS. They don't want to actually give me the information. Now, according to FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin, he reached out, and guess why? He believes that the woman who reported that sexual assault was actually lying about it. Now, again, that's his opinion. That's his view. We don't know the woman's name. I want to know if she did lie. Why hasn't she been indicted? Has she been removed from serving? I mean, that is a serious, serious allegation to make. And I don't care where you come from. If a woman lies about a sexual assault case, you should be held criminally liable. You should be. An assault, you should be held criminally liable. So again, we're not really getting any answers on that front. And it's deeply, deeply concerning. But again, the FBI is stonewalling me, even under this leadership. Kash Patel and others, I don't know what's going on over there. They told us they were going to be transparent. I've grilled the FBI. I've asked them questions, even posting the emails that I'm sending over to them. They continue to tell me that that particular case, they've got no comment on it. They've got no comment on it. And so that's what we're battling it out with. We're battling it out with these three-letter agencies claiming to be transparent, not transparent at all. And then when you ask them tough questions or questions that they simply just don't want to answer, they call you, this is what the FBI said about my Thomas Crooks report. They call you false media. No, we're not false media. We have the receipts to prove that these are the simple facts, and they just don't want to admit it. Again, we didn't sign up for this. We wanted a reformed FBI. We wanted the FBI to be eliminated. But it doesn't look like we're turning the Hoover Building into a museum anytime soon, like you were promised. So again, we're going to continue to stay on their case. I'm not backing out anytime soon. I've been at this for 4 years now, just in that one particular case. I'm not going anywhere. Here's the assault that we're talking about. Apparently, according to Kyle Serafin, that this woman, who again, we don't know her name. I don't know if she's been charged. I can't even search for it. Apparently, she wasn't being truthful. That's the allegations that Kyle Serafin are making, in his opinion. And so again, we don't really know. We don't really know. And I simply just want to ask questions and get you the answers. But guess what? The FBI doesn't want you to know those answers. In fact, they are working very hard to suppress it. And I've tried repeatedly to ask. And there's really no change. Also, it's interesting. Let me pull this up right now, too. I was really upset yesterday because Miranda Devine, okay, she works for the New York Post. She's an incredible journalist. I'm sure you probably already know about her. But Miranda Devine has done an incredible job at exposing the corruption within the FBI and other agencies as well. She's also the reason why we have the Hunter Biden laptop story. That woman, according to people I've spoken to, this didn't come from her directly, fought really hard for the New York Post to publish the Hunter Biden laptop story. Now, if you remember, that was very controversial back in the day because everyone was a group of cowards, but not Miranda Devine. She pushed aggressively hard to make sure that you all saw what was on that laptop prior to the election. Well, now she's issuing criticism specifically towards the new leadership at the FBI. Now, listen, I was friends with these guys, so specifically one of them, I should say. So this isn't easy when you offer this level of criticism. And Miranda knew both of them. And so she's been calling it out. And unfortunately, we didn't get the response from the FBI that we wanted. She posted an article about how internally there were members of the FBI who truly do care for the cause and endorse and back, and they really wanted President Trump to get in so they could purge it out. But she detailed a bunch of accusations, and it's actually up on her ex page. She published this over at the New York Post, and she pretty much tells you what they're saying behind the scenes regarding Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, the deputy director and the FBI director. Behind the scenes, people are just saying that it's something of a clown show. It's a direct quote. The 115-page report that was written up by these FBI employees also says that they just don't believe that these guys are qualified for the job. And that a lot of their outbursts online going after people is just due to insecurities. They also said that they lack a level of self-confidence. This is according to Divine. Now, she's published this 115-page report on the FBI. It's like their six-month report card. And right now, according to these individuals, it's very important because Miranda yesterday was on Fox, and she defended this report, saying that these people who were behind this report, who are anonymous, so I know what you guys feel about that, these people were actually fighting for President Trump to make his way back in the White House, backing him, because they wanted the filth within the agency to be purged out. So according to her, they're saying that this comes from a great place. But when you read the details in her report, she also goes on to say that there was like some incident that Kash Patel wouldn't get out and go in front of the American people. Specifically, this is the date she's citing was when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. If he didn't get his FBI raid jacket, according to this quote that's in right now, the New York Post, he had refused to step from the plane without wearing one. I always thought it was strange seeing him in the FBI raid jacket in the first place. He just recently did a press conference, I believe it was earlier this week, and was in it as well. This is a guy who told us he was going to take out the FBI. Remember those sound bites? So again, it's been absolutely disappointing. Absolutely disappointing. Miranda Devine doing a great job at outlining this, going back and forth, saying that these two, according to this report, really care more about social media rather than going out there and doing their jobs. Well, it resulted, sadly, in Dan Bongino coming after her and saying, deep state Devine strikes again. I don't know a single person who refers to Miranda Devine as a deep state operative. Literally, I don't know a single person. In fact, too, the administration is constantly sending some of their highest officials to sit down with Miranda and do interviews with her because she's just such a credible person. I couldn't point to one story where I ever questioned Miranda's intent. But he goes after her, and I guess maybe he had his feelings hurt. You could always count on Miranda for a timed hit piece when the director and I are making big changes, it looks like. Miranda prefers the old guard. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life, first off. Second, like I just outlined to you all, you know, this report says that these guys care more about social media rather than doing their own jobs. And so what do we have here? Well, I think he just confirmed the report. Putting out this personal attack against Miranda Devine, it sounds like you're confirming the report. And listen, I've defended these guys privately behind the scenes. I've defended them because I know this is not an easy job. And I believe that sabotage is heavily involved in all of this. So I am not going to sit here and tell you that I believe that Dan Bongino is evil. I do not think that at all. I truly don't. I believe that there's sabotage, and I think it adds to the friction behind the scenes. But what I could also tell you, too, is Miranda Devine is not a bad person, nor do I think she's a deep state operative. I mean, the level of cojones on this woman to sit there and push back is massive. Also, just kind of give my perspective, as many of you guys know, I used to work for Fox Corp, and I'd have her on shows. She was one of the very few people, and by very few, I mean a couple people, when I came out and outed Fox for the vaccine push behind the scenes that was going on, who didn't cut me off. So I have a lot of respect for her. I have a lot of respect for that woman. And so it's really upsetting to see these swinging insults. Miranda Devine is not a deep state operative. I've never seen an ounce of evidence of that. And I think that, sadly, by putting this tweet out, you just proved Miranda's point. Miranda Devine is obviously doing a great job at reporting. Everyone respects her. And so yeah, I guess they're just not happy about this. But at this point, folks, I mean, I sat there, as many of you guys know, we talked about it on obviously InfoWars. I got my hands on a document that outlined Thomas Crooks's social media accounts, something that the FBI, the previous FBI, told us didn't exist. Well, we know that they existed. And in fact, I got the same document that was sent over by the same source to Tucker Carlson, Miranda Devine, and myself. And we went through it. And before even publishing anything, I turned to the FBI for comments, as a responsible journalist would do. And they didn't want to respond. Tucker Carlson did the same thing before releasing his piece. And they actually sat there and said to him, well, how do you know this is real, what you're talking about? I mean, this is so crazy to me that the fact that these guys pretend like it's a new guard all of a sudden. I mean, they have not shown us anything. Where's the changes? Anytime I reach out to about personnel firings, I'm told can't comment on that. So when we sit here and we say, Miranda Devine's upset about the old guard no longer being installed in this position, I argue that is absolutely disgusting to say. Again, this doesn't make any sense. If you're a person who follows what's been going on over at the FBI, you know this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't add up. And yet this is the argument that's being made right now by the FBI. Now, I know Miranda does a great job at reaching out for comment. She tries her very best, of course. But folks, this is so crazy to me that we're in this place in the first place. I really hope things turn around over the FBI, because we cannot continue to allow this to happen. Also, it's worth noting, if you remember that guy in California who worked for the FBI, who was going around to all the big tech companies and pushing for censorship. It's like something Chang or Chen. I did a story on it. This is, has to be as soon as the FBI got back in. And I was told that he's was put on leave, and he was actually able to, based on what we know, because the FBI wouldn't confirm any of it. He was no longer, they obviously put him on leave, but he was able to milk his time to get his retirement benefits after going and suppressing your speech. After trying to literally put these big tech companies into chokeout, and we allowed it to happen. We allowed it to happen. He's going to get his benefits. It's totally egregious, but it's not surprising. Folks, earlier today, like I told you, I was over at the Pentagon in clip 16. Harrison Smith, as we could tell, we swapped places today, but Harrison Smith was covering it live on air as it was all going down. Take a listen to Harrison's remarks about seeing new reporters over at the Pentagon.
Yes. Thank you, Kinsley. A question for you in regards to the Afghan withdrawal. When we brought these migrants onto military bases, or these refugees onto military bases, we saw a surge in assault immediately after, sexual assault and physical assaults. And then all of a sudden, under the previous administration, we no longer learned of anything that was happening anymore on these military bases. Does this Pentagon plan on giving us some type of criminal data on that to see what actually happened when they were brought onto these military bases? And do we have any status updates on, like, FBI investigations and such?
So for FBI investigations, anything that would be a criminal law enforcement matter would obviously be something to direct to the Department of Justice, as we cannot speak to that from our perch here at the Department of War. But what I can tell you is that we are aware of a lot of that activity that went on. It's despicable. One is too many, right? And we understand that the Biden administration, unfortunately, put our troops and our country last in many cases. The secretary is committed to correcting that. And I think that's what you're going to see going forward. Yes.
All right. So that was,
thank you.
Host of the American Journal, Brandon Morello, asking a question to the Pentagon spokesperson. You know, there are a couple times where I felt like interrupting right there, but honestly, it was interesting, and the questions being asked are good. And really what we're witnessing here is a real sea change. It's like I'm dreaming or something. So you've got a Pentagon press briefing, but I recognize half the people there. I saw Savannah Hernandez. I saw Brandon Morello, Laura Loomer, James O'Keefe is there. Somebody from Real America's Voice, somebody from Gateway Pundit, somebody from InfoWars, of course, Brandon Morello, or, you know, ex-InfoWars TPUSA representative, Savannah Hernandez. This is crazy. This is awesome. And they're asking good questions. And I was going back and looking up some transcripts from other, you know, Pentagon briefings where the AP is asking questions. And half the time it would literally descend into like a shouting match as they're like, so you're not going to be sending food to this place? And just like, just causing outrage, causing dissension. Again, here we actually get pertinent questions about what the intentions of the Trump administration are. You know, the Pentagon's going to be, you know, she's got her talking points, and she sort of returns to, you know, the prefabricated statements, you know, I don't expect her to be all that transparent. But the fact that we have independent reporters in there, uncontrolled, not mainstream media reporters in there, InfoWars reporters in there, is just absolutely mind-blowing and incredible. And they're asking very good questions. And, you know, the only thing I'd say I'm a little disappointed in from the Pentagon right now is, again, talking about treason and sedition of people like Mark Kelly, as if they can't do anything about it, as if they just have to let it continue and hope everybody else is as outraged as they are. Like, isn't Mark Kelly in the military? Can't you court-martial him? Why are you telling us he's treasonous? This is nonsense. We'll go back to this on the other side. This is fascinating.
You guys like what I just did there? I played my clip from the Pentagon with Harrison Smith filling in for me, reacting to the clip while I take over and just fill in for Harrison. I don't know. I feel like that was very politician-wise of me to praise myself there, but I force you all to listen. Listen, Harrison Smith did a great job today filling in for me at the American Journal this morning. Tomorrow you'll have Rob do as well, because I got to, you know, do some interviews with the Pentagon, and then I'll be making my way back into my chair on Thursday to bring you all the great interviews that we've done so far. Again, a lot of questions being asked that I think most people weren't really expecting, and I'm going to do just that tomorrow as well when I sit down with top officials over at the Pentagon and have one-on-one discussions with them. Also worth noting, we are going to be speaking with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth as well. It'll be great to see him because, as many of you guys know, he's under attack. And obviously, I know he could fight back and he could handle this, but man, oh man, can't wait to talk to that guy. Folks, in the meantime, I just got an alert regarding the latest on the AutoPen scandal. It looks like President Trump just posted this on Truth Social. I want to bring this to your attention. He's claiming that any and all documents, proclamations, and executive orders, memorandums, or contracts signed by the order of the now infamous and unauthorized AutoPen by, obviously, Joe Biden, he's just going to avoid it. It's done. It's garbage. He announced that this is official, that there is not going to be any of those documents with any type of authority. And he's, in fact, going to, I guess, I hope, sign this in this executive order, whatever he's got to do. I hope he signed it with a pen, like a real pen. We have proof that he did. He should joke and say AutoPen signed it, though. That would be great. But folks, the president now looks like he's shutting down the AutoPen documents that Joe Biden allegedly signed. In case you missed it, too, let me just remind you. This is how you know Joe Biden wasn't actually signing away at those documents. There was a convicted pedophile with over 47,000 images, child pornography images, on his device. And for some reason, President Biden, say that loosely, decided to pardon or commute this guy's sentence. And of course, he's a Chinese national, so they send him back to China. Doesn't really sound like a legacy you want to leave behind if you were legitimately a president who believed that your time in the White House was something that should be a happier piece of American history. It's my nicer way of phrasing that. So AutoPen looks like it's canceled, but this is just the beginning. We want answers. We want accountability. We want people in prison for this. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, like right now, because we had the buy one, get one free on the supplements going on right now. Time to stock up if you haven't done so already. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you stock up on your supplements. Nick Sorter joining me in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. We're live from Washington, D.C. in the Rebel Studio.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.